I'm a Brazilian PhD student. I'm here visiting for the past 6 months. This is my last week. I have been working with NIOSH on ECHOES, and more specifically, as I'm going to be showing you, orbital effects on ECHOES.
In fact, this is supposed to be Luis' send-off.
I'm from the University of Toronto, just down the road.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Oh, okay. Okay, so I'm from Seoul, KIAS. So I'm a research fellow at KIAS, and I'm using PI from February 1st to the end of May. My name is Mio.
I'm Christian, and I'm a PhD student at the University of Waterloo, working with Dr. Ashwari, and I'm thinking about the relationship between holography and echoes.
My name is Peter Schatter. I have an interest in computational relativity. What interests me about this topic here is how to study numerically modifications to general relativity. That might produce echoes,
which is
other interesting effects. So it's more the mathematical
part of it. I'm Ben Holder. I'm visiting on sabbatical with NIOSH. I've never done general relativity before, so I'm trying to get started in that and work on echoes in some way.
I'm Barak. I was a PhD student here, and now I have 4 months. I guess kind of the visiting position here with NIOSH, and we'll also be working on echoes somewhere. And I used to work on quantum projecting.
That's it.
Great. I'm Fabian. I'm a resident student here. I didn't work on echoes, but I used scaling up to the mix to compute the value of the class of the host family.
Who do you work with?
Here at PIA, I work with an RSTN. He's a student from Education.
Oh, welcome. I mean, everything is echoes in
something.
That's kind of
like this quantum.
You're going to do loop corrections at some point, or everything is G level?
You have to do loop corrections.
Well,
but
if you have loops, then it's quantum.
Loops already have they also have classical information.
Thank you.
I'm Patrick. I'm a second year co-op student with NIOSH, and I'm sort of working on the data side of echoes.
I'm Sam, and I'm a second year master's student working with NIOSH, and I am looking at unifying Big Bang and black holes. So we just have a model of Big Bang, and we're trying to get black hole solutions out of it.
I'm Hong Yi. I'm a postdoc at another institute. I'm studying geometry, hydrodynamics, and black hole shadow images.
Hi, I'm Niels. I'm a PhD student here working with Luis. Mostly working on strong gravity and just checking out what's going on here.
My name is Wu Wang, and I'm a fourth year PhD student with NIOSH, and I'm basically working on how to apply the model from that Hacker introduced. We have the paper on it, and we're trying to do more numerical relativity side, and more introduce more noise effect into our model to produce echo more realistic.
Thank you, thanks everyone. So now we are right on the schedule.
So
Luis, take it away.
Okay. So as I said, I'm going to be presenting my work with NIOSH that is about orbital effects in perturbations around exotic compact objects and seeing the effects on echoes. So my introduction will be kind of similar to Naritaka, maybe running short, but First is we want to answer the question of whether we are seeing black holes or exotic compact objects in the LIGO data. And in my model, different from Naritaka, I'm going to be working in an approximative way of constructing echoes, meaning that I will be using the differential equations of a Kerr black hole and just changing the boundary conditions near the horizon. And I will be studying the difference of the orbital motions and the motivations for that Naritaka said about the quantum nature of black holes and the black hole information paradox, and even the existence itself from event horizons. So in a more pictorial way, what I'm going to be doing is approximating the effective potential by the Kerr black hole one, and just changing the boundary condition here to mimic a second peak of potential, creating an acoustic cavity here. So here is what we expect, and here is a picture from a paper of Nyash, where he discussed the observation of a possible echo. So we expect the usual waveform plus a secondary pulse here sometime after the ring down. So there are some tentative evidence for detection of echoes. And one of the main features of this detections that we were concerned during this study is that although there are different p-values from these detections, it seems that there is a trend of these p-values regarding the mass ratio of the events. So we were interested in seeing what happens with the echoes if you change the mass ratio of the two bodies involved. So to see whether lower mass ratio have lower amplitude of echoes or vice versa. So some previous works study orbital motions of around the massive object to see echoes, and the two that I know of, it's the first one is by Mark and colleagues that he study geodesic motion around a Kerr-like object, but with scalar field and with a geodesic motion. I extended this work in a paper that was out last year by allowing the object to be rotating. And now I'm going to be extending this for gravitational waves and with a more realistic motion that is not geodesic. So as I said, I'm going to be working with the Kerr black hole, just modifying the boundary conditions. So I'm going to be solving the Tilkowski equation, which is here. And I chose to work with this equation because I have the code for solving the Tilkowski equation semi-analytically, which is the MST method. So I can solve for the homogeneous solutions and its asymptotic amplitudes analytically. So I have less numerical uncertainty there. So what I mean with that is that we have, I don't know why it's cutting so much. We have two homogeneous solutions defined by the boundary conditions, and these quantities here, I will be using and referring to them because I have the code for them. So to solve the Tilkowski equation, we can construct the Green function in the regular way. And with the previous homogeneous solutions, here the in and upgoing modes, and with the Wronskian between the two here. So to solve them, I need I don't know what is happening, why it's cutting so much.
Can you change the resolution? Maybe if you increase that. It's that.
Yeah. Oh, it's not going.
Is that automatic something? Automatical?
Is that? Okay, there you go. So in order to solve for the motion, we will have to integrate the green functions with the source term, which is a mode decomposition of the stress energy tensor that we have for a particle going around the object. And we can solve for the wave at infinity and the wave at the horizon in first principles. Unfortunately, during this study, we realized that the wave at the horizon, this integral is ill-convergent, basically because this extra term here in the R-up solution is, when you take the second derivatives, is divergent. So in order to deal with that, we are going to transform the quantities that we have here to the Sasaki-Nakamura transforms, to the Sasaki-Nakamura quantities with well-known transformations between them. So in the Sasaki-Nakamura, we can use two homogeneous solutions to construct the Green function with the same boundary conditions. And again, these quantities now in the Sasaki-Nakamura can transform back from what I have from the Tilkowski, from the MST method. And I will normalize these solutions by the transmitted coefficients just for later convenience. But in order to account for the different boundary conditions, instead of using Rin and Rup to construct the Green function, I'm going to use Rup and what I'm calling Recho here, which is a linear combination of Rin and Rup. And this coefficient here that I'm introducing, I will be calling the transfer function, and I'm imposing that the flux of the ingoing flux of the Recho solution and the outgoing flux of the Recho solution are proportional by some reflectivity. So that's what I get from the Sasaki-Nakamura formalism, and translating to the Tilkowski quantities, that's what I get. And these quantities here, B0, C, and D, and G, are the quantities that transform from the Sasaki-Nakamura to the Tilkowski formalism.
Do you see the divergence you mentioned before at this stage?
Sorry?
Do you see that divergence at this stage?
So the divergence that I'm going to be dealing, I will be dealing in a different way that I'm going to be talking in a few minutes. But the thing is, in the Sasaki-Nakamura, there is a approximative way that I can get the horizon wave from the infinity wave. So I can use that approximation. So I'm not going to be calculating the horizon wave in first principles, unfortunately.
But are you saying that Tilkowski infinity is actually not a physical infinity? Like there's no infinite flux or anything like that?
In the Tilkowski formalism.
Yeah, even though there's an infinity showing up, it's really not a physical infinity.
The way that I understood that, the infinity that happens there is because the tetrate basis that you use to separate the Tilkowski equation. So it's basically a choice of basis that you're using, so it's not a physical one. So if I construct the Green function in the usual way, and integrate against the source, what will appear is the infinity wave of the Sasaki-Nakamura formalism plus the horizon wave times the K function. And this would be the wave that we are going to see in the infinity. So this will be the standard wave plus the echo part here. So as I was saying, there in the Sasaki-Nakamura, there is an approximative way of writing this in terms of the infinity wave. And if I work this out and write this in terms of the Tilkowski quantities, that will be the full answer of the exotic compact object. It should be regarded that this approximation is only good for near the quasi-normal mode of the Kerr black hole. But as I'm going to be showing, I choose a reflectivity which allows me to use that because it basically is the Boltzmann reflectivity that Naritaka introduced. So it will provide a natural cutoff for frequencies larger than the quasi-normal mode. So here is the orbital motions that I evolved. I should explain how I get this. So these motions have three different phases. There is an spiral phase, which I obtained from an adiabatic approximation of quasi-circular orbits. Then there is a transition regime that was described in a paper by Kip Thorne. And then I approximate the plunge by a geodesic motion. So basically, I'm going to get this motion after the crossing the ISCO by a geodesic motion. So here is the results for the transfer function. As I said, there is and Naritaka presented, I'm going to be using the Boltzmann reflectivity because it provides this natural cutoff that I mentioned. So here is the peaks of the transfer function would be the quasi-normal modes of the azotic compact objects. And here I notice two points, the super radiance frequency and the quasi-normal mode frequency of the Kerr black hole here. These are showing for a spin of the central object of 0.67 and for a position of the wall at tortoise coordinate of minus 150 m. Also presented by Naritaka, it seems that you can have a different temperature instead of the Hawking temperature appearing. So I allowed here to put an extra parameter. So I multiply by 2 the Hawking temperature to see how this affect the echoes that I'm finding. So here is what I evolved in for the standard wave. So we have the in spiral phase. Here I'm only plotting the amplitude of the wave. Here is the in spiral phase. Here we can see the ring down, and all the waves are normalized to the peak of the ring down phase. So two things that we notice here is that the amplitudes here are different basically because they are in different radio coordinates. And we found a delay here in the quasi-normal modes ring down that will also appear in the echo waveforms.
What do you mean the different radio coordinates?
So basically here it's for the same time. So what I mean is if you go back to the, if you account the time being zero at the plunge, if you trace back in time, for the same time, one orbit will be closer to the horizon than the other one. Basically because more massive evolves more rapidly. So that's why it's a different radio coordinate in this sense. So here I'm showing the amplitude of the first echo for different mass ratios that I choose. So two different features appear here. It seems that a more similar mass ratio leads to slightly higher amplitudes. And also because of the different starting point of the quasi-normal mode ringing, the first echo appear in different times as well. So there is a different delay between echoes of events with different mass ratios. So we plot this the amplitude of the first echo relative to the amplitude of the main event with respect to the mass ratio eta. And we find that there is a linear trend between these amplitudes, which we could, in principle, extrapolate and find that what we would expect at similar mass ratios But of course, this should be taken with care, because then nonlinearities could play a role in equal mass ratios events. So here is for the case with the modified Hawking temperature. It seems that the amplitudes are higher than the previous model. This we could anticipate it by the transfer function, because the transfer function peaks of the second case is higher. But the trend is here. They have larger.
Sorry, we also anticipated that there's just less absorption. The reflection is bigger. That's more intuitive. Yeah.
Okay.
The bigger that, if that denominator is infinity, then the reflection is one, obviously.
But the main the features that we saw before also appear here. And we did the same plot. It's not as linear as the previous one, basically because the k function have a more complicated peak structure. So this leads to beating of the echoes. So this leads to a slightly different values of amplitudes. So my conclusions is that we found that smaller mass ratios lead to smaller relative amplitudes of echoes. Smaller mass ratios also lead to a delay in the appearance of the first echoes. It seems that the larger mass ratios lead to a slightly different decay rate between subsequent echoes, but this is still under investigation because we don't know how precise I'm getting the later echoes. I may be losing precision there. And also what I found is that it seems that there is no orbital phase resonance in the waveform, meaning that there is no modification before the ring down due to these different boundary conditions. So thank you.
So questions for Luis?
So what was the motivation to put 1/2 temperature?
Sorry?
You modified temperature to TH.
Well, basically the proposal by Naritaka shows that you can have modified Hawking temperature there. And
on the temperature?
Sorry?
On the temperature?
What do you mean on the temperature?
Of the definition of the reflectivities. So I show the reflectivity for the energy, but he shows the reflectivity for in the model function expression.
Yes.
Yes, so basically, essentially both the equivalent.
No, but he looked at two different possibilities. One is you have a sound movement, another you have a bigger, when you saturate the bound constant radius.
Yeah. So I mean the difference of the factor two.
Yeah,
comes from this.
Yeah, but there are two different factor twos. There is one that is going from flux
to amplitudes.
To amplitudes, right? But then the other one is you could also just have more reflectivity until you get to instability. Right? So what Naritaka showed is that you can. If you have Boltzmann reflectivity, you don't get ergo region instability. But you could, in fact, make that TH bigger or that Boltzmann reflectivity bigger by a factor of two, and it still don't get instability. So you kind of maximize that. And now, what's the motivation for that? It's who knows? I think that we have some models that could give you some generalized Boltzmann reflectivity. But it's, at some level, it could be just a phenomenological parameter that you don't know.
Usually, if you have a system, the Hawking temperature is fixed.
But is the Hawking temperature is a classical
variable,
because you assume classical geometry. So if you say that geometry is modified, that could actually be modified. Yeah, so that's a possibility. Thanks. Yeah, well.
As the mass ratio goes to zero, doesn't the amplitude of the echoes go to
Sorry?
The amplitude of the echoes should go to zero as the mass ratio goes to zero.
Well, if the mass ratio goes to zero, you're basically saying that there is no secondary particle. So yes, it should go to zero, but then everything should go to zero.
But if your amplitude seemed to vary so little,
but that was normalized to the main event. So everything would go to zero together.
Okay. But if the ring down is... Oh, you're saying the ring down gets very small.
That's right. So, yeah. So I think what you're trying to do, of course, everything would be proportional to the mass of the secondary, so everything would go to zero if that mass actually goes to zero. But here we're normalizing the first echo to the main event, and it seems what it's showing is that that ratio is also dependent on the mass ratio. That is the smallest, that ratio. So they both go to zero, but then the ratio goes to some constant.
Yes.
But then as it increases mass ratio, then the echo gets bigger.
Is the formula similar to the effective one body? The formulas that you
use? No, I'm using the perturbation theory formalism.
So it's...
They don't use green functions in the effect one body, right?
They use?
Okay, but I think that is a different one then.
Oh, what's the other one?
No, I haven't worked in effect one body, but I think that... Well, two things that... First, I'm using the Tuchovsky equation, so I don't think that they use the Tuchovsky equation in the effect one body. So
that's why it looks like, yeah, they both have the formalism for Tuchovsky, and they also have formalism for Sasaki Nakamoto.
Because what I have seen from the effect one body, they have this Hamiltonian that they start and they do by Hamiltonian system, right?
But that's for the trajectories, but not the topographic surveys that solve some of the
equations, right? Yeah, they used it when they solved it.
Well, I don't know. I haven't worked in the effect one body formalism.
Like they have actually way to regularize the cost
equation
in the effect one body formalism.
If,
you mentioned that there's like singularity.
Yes.
Yeah, so they actually have a way to regularize. That's why I'm asking, maybe it's could apply your volume. Maybe it's actually the same problem.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's a good input.
Okay, send you.
You guys
okay.
Can talk to each other. Other questions, comments? So if not, let's thank Luis again.